KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me, of course, is
Caleb
and
Jason.
That's right. We're here to rock your geek world with geek-centric stuff, hence the geek-centric talk show. All right, gentlemen, how have you been?
Been pretty good. It's going to be a fairly quiet week for me as the wife is going off to Maui.
Party time! Well, you know, I mean,
so yeah,
you know. Yeah.
When are we bringing the keg?
I don't know.
I don't care if I have work the next day.
Alrighty then. We'll get to that later.
I thought it was a perfectly good time. Hey.
So well, okay. So you mean she's leaving this week, right?
Yeah. So tomorrow morning she and her mom will be flying to Hawaii.
Ah, okay. So how have you been though since last week?
Since last week, not too bad. Hanging out, doing the work thing. Nothing too exciting. Really, unfortunately.
I'm completely the least observant person in the world, I'm realizing, because you have like a full-on beard right now.
Yeah, I'm trying it out just to see what it's like.
It works.
Yeah?
I'll be honest.
You'll blend right in San Francisco.
It is a little
hey,
bit...
what are you trying to say?
No, I'm just saying...
Not that there's anything wrong with it, or...
No.
Okay.
There you go, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I'd try
just
it out.
Just creating a visual for the audience, you know.
Oh, okay.
Since
okay.
It's radio, it's hard to...
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Or Seattle, where people need to keep warm because it's chilly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Something
or
like
Alaska.
That. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Any given place.
Exactly.
Any one of those.
Any one of them. But yeah, nothing too exciting on my side, Kate. Fairly quiet, just keeping on, keeping on.
Cool.
How about yourself, Jason?
I almost had a complete and total breakdown over a lack of technology. I didn't realize how addicted I am to not just my cell phone, but having my cell phone with the internet on it and everything. My cell phone broke last week. Not long after our last show, and I almost lost it because I was trying to figure out. I literally don't even have a computer hooked up right now, or didn't, because I use my phone for all of that so much.
Uh-huh.
And so it was at first me trying to figure out how to make everything work with Xbox, which it worked pretty good, but mm-hmm. it unfortunately has a limited amount of memory for doing a lot of internet stuff.
Mm.
And so you use the internet a certain amount, and then it starts like kind of clug, clug, which made me really look forward to having internet on the next Xbox. Hopefully,
mm-hmm.
but still, I couldn't wait for that. Of course, I was kind of forced into a corner and had to buy a phone in one of the worst, most expensive ways possible,
which is off contract,
right? Well, off contract and through like a new payment plan thing that AT&T is doing, and so it ends up being an obscene amount of money once you add it all up. But if you don't have a whole bunch to throw at it at that moment, it's kind of a golden way to go if you want a decent phone.
Yeah, and it's a good way to upgrade it later on if you want to as well.
That's true. Without it becoming like a huge promo for certain phone company or anything.
Yeah.
But still, I was kind of cringing at the price of the entire thing, but it still ends up becoming a monthly thing, so it made it really tempting to get a more premium phone than I would have ever bought before.
Nah.
So since I'm already like following the rabbit down the hole, might as well like bring my blue dress, I guess.
There you go.
Nice. Any other exciting stuff happen, or is that
absolutely
pretty
nothing?
Much?
No, no. Work is actually going way better than I would have ever expected right now, and I'm literally. It's going well enough that I'm waiting for things to go horribly wrong, you know? We've had a bunch of extra contracts at work that kind of came out of the blue, some that we'd been working on for a long time, and nothing's, like, absolutely set in stone, but things are actually looking pretty good at the moment. So
Nice.
How about you? Hopefully it stays that way.
Definitely. Definitely. How about you, Joe? What's new with you?
Let's see. I wrote down a few things so I had to remember them. I made a list of all the TV shows that I needed to catch up on. So I've caught up on Sherlock finally. So both seasons out of the way.
Right.
They're very short in the British tradition.
Yeah. And caught up on Falling Skies, so that's taken care of. So that was
seasons, quote unquote.
Yeah. Summer/season/ mini season things, whatever you want to call them, on some of these shows. Playing some more AC Revelations.
Okay.
How's that?
Yeah.
Are you feeling revelated? Are you reveling in the revelations?
It made me think of I can understand why they don't have them now, but it would be cool for this next generation of games if they had like a previously on. So if you play in a game and then you maybe set it aside for a while and then you come back to it, like a really story-centric game, it's like I've kind of forgot some of the stuff when I started playing it again. I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
That would be cool.
Sorry,
like, I know a lot of them have it like kind of seated deep in the menu system where you can kind of cobble it together. But yeah, something where it would be a quick like press play,
bring
you
just,
up to date would be really nice.
It would scan where, you know, from the last save, you know, to the first save, and then just give you highlights. I mean, obviously not go through every single detail, you know, side missions and all that stuff, but just like, here's what's happened so far if you
and
want.
And maybe the announcer would chide you for, like, missing something. Or
don't put this game down next time, you idiot.
Next time, finish what you start.
I'm trying. It's just so long. So many games.
Everything's so good
I have
right
to
now.
Work and eat and go to the bathroom. No, you don't.
What's sleep? Sleep's for the weak.
haven't you heard of a bucket and a tube? Come on, game. That's not
that's
cool.
What a creative use of bags is for.
Yeah. That's not cool at all. You're reminding me of college. I guess the most important thing that I did was applying for one of the jobs at IGN.
Cool. Sweet.
I don't think I'll get it, but thanks.
No, you got it.
No. It's not in the department that I specifically want, but
okay.
You know, so,
but, hey, whatever gets your foot in
said door.
The
golf hole. I don't know how
something
that's supposed
something
to
like
go.
That, yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, that was my week.
Okay.
So sounds like apart from a phone dying, nothing incredibly crazy. So that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Mm. So,
yeah.
Well, speaking of things that are good, I think we're going to have a good show for you tonight. Mm. Caleb has our topic for the core.
That's true.
Yes. Our topic tonight is quality adaptations, usually book to film, because that's the most common one. But it's I'm leaving it open to adaptations in general, because there have been some decent game adaptations. I mean, that's
We're going to spend the entire time just talking about the movie adaptation
featuring yeah, like, two oh, Nick Cages. Oh, talking about that. Yeah. Hopefully the sequel has three.
That's a lot of them. I didn't even know.
That should be interesting. But yeah. Yeah.
More Nick Cage than my mind has room for.
So that'd be cool. So out there, let us know if you have any.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you tell them how they can do that since we're
yeah,
on that.
Please let us know what your favorite adaptation is. And you can let us know on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words, and that'll bring us up. Or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is RobotsAttackMe. Or you can find us on ye olde email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, if you're just like, that's a lot to remember all at once, just robotsattack.me. That's our website. We have archive episodes. We have links under the interact button to everything else I've described. It's all good. You'll be all set when you go there.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can have a complete and total overdose of me if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Just listen to every single episode that I'm in.
Yeah.
I don't care about the rest of these guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty much. I mean, hey, enjoy the entire crew. Bring the whole family.
Also in the show, during our game discussion, Caleb had a chance to play Crackdown. It is one of the, you might be thinking, Crackdown? How old is that game? It's like, well, hold on a minute. It became free.
Free with gold
if you're an Xbox Live member. So Caleb will be discussing that. There's also a couple game events coming up this week, so I'll mention those. And no Caleb's Corner this week. But, of course, we have the news.
Mm-hmm.
And starting us all off, I'm going to tell you about the top five box office. We got number one, we had Elysium.
Hey.
Number okay. two, we're the Millers. Number three, Planes.
Really? So, three.
Number four, Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And number five, Two Guns.
Two Guns.
I don't know if they had two guns. But
four hands.
Maybe.
Maybe it was one guy that's with true. Six guns. No, that's a different movie.
Two mouths full of teeth.
No. Oh,
wow.
And indeed. Don't. Yeah. Somebody stop me.
Let's move on to the next section.
Yeah. I will stop you with the new releases coming out this week.
Nice. Yes.
So in theater land. We have, let's see, let's start us off with something called Abandoned Mine.
Oh. Is it in 3D?
Doesn't look like it.
Oh,
no, but it does feature the lead actress from, or the main girl actress from the Spy Kids movies, all grown up now.
There you go.
Wow, okay.
I
still haven't seen any of those.
You've seen the posters, it's pretty much
That's true, that's all you need.
And then we have Austin Land. Not Austin, Texas, but
okay.
Jane Austen.
Oh.
So, you know.
Okay.
We have a movie called Cutie and the Boxer. We have this movie about some apple fruit guy called Jobs.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Then this other movie called Kick-Ass 2.
Mm.
Then another movie called Paranoia.
Yeah. Okay.
They're after him everywhere. They're listening right now.
And
I will broadcasting.
And I will close it with a movie called You Will Be My Son.
Hey.
You will be my son.
He's not pointing this way, that's for sure. So
You will be my son.
From there we move on to the
selection of CDs that are apparently going to be
maybe some vinyl. So we got the Blu-ray and DVD releases for the week. This is just a selection of. There's too many to list them all. A Blu-ray DVD called named A Band Called Death. A Band Called Death, yeah. It's about pretty much the first punk band, which was before punk was a thing. So
Okay.
Then there is Emperor, about Douglas MacArthur in World War II, Japan. Okay. Eureka 7, AO. Or OW?
AO.
More robots. Hatchet number 3 on Blu-ray and DVD.
Third one.
Yeah. Reality, Blu-ray and DVD.
Don't believe it.
Nope. And then
it bites.
And then there's
90s joke. Oh, yeah.
Then there's the company.
I would have expected that joke from me, so I'm totally and completely disappointed in you.
Or are you disappointed in yourself for not making it first?
There might be a certain element of that.
I read your mind. You will be my son.
Is that just another way of saying who's your daddy?
Let us know out there.
Yeah.
Right.
Then The Company You Keep is on Blu-ray and DVD. And I'm going to wrap it up with a DVD collection for a Japanese show called Ultra Q, which is held up in Japan as sort of like their Twilight Zone.
Okay. Huh.
And it's also the precursor to Ultraman, if you're into those.
Well, moving from Blu-rays and DVDs to the video games, we've got Mario and Luigi Dream Team. It looks like the 3DS.
Is it basketball?
No. It looks like it's a new installment in the Mario and Luigi role-playing series that takes place on a mysterious island and challenges Mario to go between the real world and Luigi's dreams to rescue Princess Peach.
Nobody
so I guess Luigi's dreaming of Princess Peach, and he jumps in.
It makes sense.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Payday 2, Unholy Heights. We've got Worms Clan Wars. We got the second in the Summer of Arcade games, Charlie Murder. It's a four-player arcade beat-em-up featuring all four members
that
of
one
the Revolutionary Punk Act.
I'm interested. Yeah,
because it's the same guys, or same guy or guys who did the
Scott Pilgrim?
The Scott Pilgrim guy did the art, I believe, for it, but it's the guy who did the Dishwasher Samurai games. The looks like the DLC for Dishonored, the Brigmore Witches, is dropping. Phoenix and Ferb quest for cool stuff.
Alrighty.
Hopefully.
Cool stuff.
Cool stuff, yeah. There's an Angry Birds trilogy for Wii U. I didn't realize this. I thought this was coming out a little bit later, but it is listed under the new releases for this week. So hopefully this is right. We don't get yelled at, but it says DuckTales Remastered. I thought that was coming out a little bit later.
Yeah,
but
I thought so too.
I saw a review for it, so I don't know.
We'll see. Let us know out there if you know for certain.
At us.
Yeah, I'm used to it. And I'll close it off with Heroes of a Broken Land. You will be my son.
That's not actually part of the title.
Because it's not Thunder Wolves. Haha, I tricked you. That's the one I'm closing on.
All right.
Okay.
So from the game releases to the comic book dumb, Batman number 23 comes out this week. It's Year Zero, Origin of Batman.
Ooh.
Yet again, but we'll not get into that. Justice League of America number 7. It's part of the Trinity War crossover. Infinity number 1.
Ooh.
Can Earth survive the return of Thanos?
Thanos! And you won't be my son.
Nope.
Uncanny X-Men. I'm going to drive that joke into the ground.
Uncanny X-Men number 10. This one has Cyclops losing control of his powers. And on the indie side, Hero Bear and
Still
the Kid.
Still making comics about Cyclops, huh?
You'd think they'd learn.
Yep. Apparently, the new Cyclops is kind of cool.
Okay.
Because now he's angsty.
Apparently, it's been a good move for him as a character. I don't know.
That's cool. It's just so funny thinking back to Comic-Con, like the panel they showed. That character wasn't in like Days of Future Past. They got like everybody else up on stage like, hey, there's someone missing. Cyclops. Yeah. I know they killed him in one of the movies, but that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
No, it's sad. It's
sad. It's true. It's very sad. I'm crying inside.
Mm-hmm.
And other places.
From comic producers that are not Marvel or DC, we get Hero Bear and the Kid, The Inheritance, which is a reissuing of a comic that was out a few years ago. Excellent, excellent cartooning work.
Okay.
Walking Dead number 113 doesn't need any reason other than it's Walking Dead number 113 to go pick that up. Thunder Agents. There's Thunder.
Ooh.
Number one.
Dang.
And then there is
two Thunder things in one broadcast.
It's a Thunder Week.
Man. Yep. I got chills.
Thunder. Some days of thunder here this week.
Mm. Days of thunder past or present. Days of thunder present.
Something.
Maybe some cats are running from the thunder.
It's true.
Or something. Anyways, we're going to round it out with the True Lives of the Fabulous Killjoys, number three.
Okay.
Nice.
As long as they're fabulous.
They are quite fabulous.
Okay.
The artwork looks nice, too.
More fabulous.
Speaking of something that is fabulous, the Half Moon Bay Pumpkin Festival. You can celebrate the Great Gourd at the world-famous Half Moon Bay Art and Pumpkin Festival October 13th and 14th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. I know that's a long ways away, people, but it's going to catch up real fast.
Yes.
So plan now. On Historic Main Street. For more information, call 650-726-9652. That's 650-726-9652. All right, gentlemen, before we get to that much-needed music break that I know the people out there are screaming their heads off for. Let's tease them.
We can be exhausting.
It's true. We're that powerful. Let's tease them with some news that we'll get to after the break.
How about this? Star Wars, as you literally have never seen it before.
Whoa. Okay. I'm intrigued. Yeah. I'm wearing a Star Wars shirt, so I'm equally intrigued.
Making color change plastic into something really, really useful.
Hmm. Not just for coffee cups anymore.
And Hot Wheels.
Nice. All right. I'm going to play the track Delete You After from the album Delete You After from the artist The Trims. You're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central Talk Show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. Before we get into the news, let me tell you about streaming us on the radio. Want to listen to KSCU even when you are not near a radio? Stream us whenever you want at KSCU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without The Underground Sound. So there you have it. If you're not near a radio, you can stream us and still listen to us. There's no excuse to listen to KSCU.
Plus, we're just that awesome.
That's true.
We're pretty awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of awesome stuff, let's hit them with some news, folks.
That's right. We're leading off with Star Wars, as you have never seen.
There you
seen
go.
It
you
before.
Could drop the mic right there. That's enough.
No, this is going to be a 8-issue limited series based on the. Get this, the rough draft of the screenplay for episode 4, A New Hope.
Okay, that could be awesome, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, so
So like before all the changes, or is it like...
Before all the changes.
Okay.
So before Han Solo was a dude.
Yeah.
Before Jabba the Hutt was a slug. Even before they added in digital dinosaurs to the scene... This is before all of that. This is like he was just scribbling notes on a napkin kind of level thing.
Okay.
Like he actually wrote up like a screenplay, but like he was looking at it and he's like, this cannot be filled with our current technology.
Yeah. Is this because I know there are like parts when like Luke was like an old general and like
Luke
kids Luke, and stuff or something.
Luke,
or something.
Luke is a mentor. Obi-Wan Kenobi is the up and comer.
Yeah, this is a lot of wacky stuff.
Wow.
Han Solo was a lizard man. And Darth Vader is
Did
neither.
Did not see that one coming. I am not a geek enough.
What if you a lizard?
And Darth Vader is...
Conan joke there for everyone who didn't get it. And I mean everyone.
let's see. Another difference. Darth Vader is neither a cyborg nor is he a Sith Lord.
He's neither Darth nor Vader.
Right. Yeah. He evades nothing.
But he
Darthly.
And the laser sword is not a weapon solely carried by the Jedi or Sith. So, so it's got a little, you can, with that, it's like you can start to see some of its more of its swashbuckling roots for the storytelling.
Okay. Dang. So, okay. Yeah. I actually kind of want to read that.
Yeah. Yeah. The artists and the writer were kind of talking about it, saying like they were sort of like intrigued about where they could go with this sort of weird variant version of Star Wars. So okay. There you go.
Well, okay. My next story, I'm going to get a little bit serious here.
Okay, all right.
Oh, snap.
Bet down. All right, get comfortable, get soon. All right.
Yeah.
Put on the bow tie, get it straight, get everything.
Because I do
want the beanie.
My teaser, of course, was people doing something really important with just color-changing plastic.
Mm.
This story started when an engineer at Worcester Polytechnic Institute was the unfortunate victim of a date rape drug. So he ended up turning it around and used his knowledge of all of chemistry and whatnot to try and create a plastic cup that can actually identify when kind of the top three date rape drugs are used in that cup.
Wow.
So it literally changes like red in color. It has like little stripes in it that turn red when your drink has been spiked with something that you do not want. And so it's a really cheap idea because it's basically just chemically treated plastic.
Right.
And so the idea is to try and get it out as cheaply and easily to as many college campuses and stuff like that as possible. And the other bonus idea is that if somebody wants to have something that they can carry around with them easily, he's planning on making straws that work the exact same way.
If you're at a classier joint or something like that, maybe. That's actually really, really clever.
Right. The item is called Drink Savvy. It's still in development right now, but it's actually moving forward mostly because of a successful $50,000 Indiegogo campaign.
Right on. Yeah, that's an excellent use of both crowdfunding and knowledge of science and human awareness. Wow. Good story find, Jason.
Yeah. I honestly was really afraid that I'd say something completely insensitive, so I'm proud of myself right now. Moving on before I
it's
ruin
not
that.
Too late.
So I'm gonna lighten it up a little bit with a follow-up story. For the people who use these drugs on other people, they should take a trip to Denmark and go swimming as much as possible, because in Denmark they found a rare cousin of the piranha that is normally found in Amazon rivers, which is a little bit odd. I mean, somehow it got from the Amazon to
Amazon
Denmark.
Amazon to Denmark. I've seen the globe, and they're kind of not close together.
Right. Yeah. So, number one, you should know there's something bad just because it's a relative of the piranha.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a really weird relative because it doesn't have, like, the pointy vampire werewolf teeth.
Right.
It has, like, flat human teeth, which are really creepy looking. It looks like somebody photoshopped this thing.
Huh.
Well, anyway, normally it's not a completely deadly fish or anything like that, but it has figured out ways to use its teeth in an effective manner to get the better of humans. Apparently, testicles are the right size for its mouth, and so it has been known in the Amazon as a fish that will detesticle you.
Huh. That is quite the fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everybody who is like not doing bad things with drugs to people in bars, stay away from the rivers in Denmark. Yeah. All the rest of you guys, go swimming. Wow.
That's kind of, yeah, it's kind of the opposite extremes. Dang.
Yeah. I don't really know how to follow this up.
And now for something completely different.
Yeah. This story from Polygon. Speaking of the stories, we post all our stories on our Facebook page and Twitter. So if you'd like to go and check them out, because they usually include pictures or videos.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously things you can't take advantage of if you're just listening or driving.
Yes.
Whatnot.
If you're driving, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. Wait till later. It'll still be there. The internet. It'll be there later.
Exactly. Unless your phone breaks.
It'll still be on the internet later.
Yeah, it'll
your
still be
broken.
There on the internet. It's not going anywhere. Anyway, my story. Portland devs hold youth game camp. More planned.
Cool.
Pixel Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Portland, held its first youth game camp July 27th through the 28th, during which about 25 volunteers helped 30 participants learn to make games. The Oregon Live reports. Campers chose areas of game development that interest them using three pathways, which included art and animation, computer science, and programming and design and gameplay. Founders Will Lewis and Jeffrey Sens created Pixel Arts in June 2013 to, quote, provide a framework for community groups to organize resources, bring volunteers together, and create local opportunities for safe intergenerational game education, according to the organization's official website, for the Game Education PDX Initiative, which organized the camp. Both are part of the Portland Indie Game Squad, an organization for local developers and enthusiasts. Quote, our vision is that every community can open source social change through games and provide tools and resources to transform lives. Pixel Arts official site explains, imagine learning through play where failure inspires engagement and encourages more exploration, better communication, and shared innovation. By providing robust services in learning and mentoring, we support long-term development of educational and economic resilience for the prosperity of all underserved youth in our communities. Organizers have two more camps planned, one during winter break 2013 and another in summer of 2014. So, yeah, check it out. It's cool. I've noticed some of these various stories. I think a lot of them from Polygon and some other sites of, like, smaller groups making these game develop, you know, getting the youth involved in creating games and stuff, and that will educate and try to get people to work together and stuff, because there's, I don't know, there's a lot of bad stuff involved in games from the community, I think, especially in, like, forums and comments and all this. There's a lot of negativity and stuff going around. It's like, no, these games can be a very positive thing.
Right.
Let's encourage that and get off.
I think we just need to eliminate forums altogether. I think that would make the internet a much happier place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, elevate the level of conversation just a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, on a much lighter note from all of, and on cool things that are positive, a husband and wife architectural designers have made a 3D sugar printing service. So,
huh.
Yes. So they make.
How is this not my story?
I don't know.
Give it to me.
I will give it to you in format of telling you the story. How
okay,
about
fair
that?
Enough.
Okay.
He's giving it to your ears.
Yes. You and our fine listeners. So the project started when the couple wanted to make a something special for a friend of theirs' birthday, but instead of being like just, you know, making an impressive cake, they thought, why don't we 3D print a cake? Because they didn't want to actually make a cake because they didn't have the materials for it, but they had a 3D printer and they thought, what?
And sugar
and they thought this would be fun. So in a period of time that lasted far beyond when the birthday actually was to happen, they actually produced a script style lettering in a like topper and made out of sugar for a cupcake for this person, and it was fantastic.
Okay, but
they thought, you know, if we like this so much and they like and she liked it so much, maybe we can do more with it. And so they have now made a service out of this that you can subscribe, get online and have things taken care of, get it things printed for you in sugar. And that's nice. Just kind of awesome.
Let them 3D print cake.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're 3D printing pizza.
Diabetics,
why not,
not
cake?
Allowed.
Damn.
Well, I mean, it's for their health. I mean,
that's yeah. true.
Good point.
We
good
like
point.
To look out for the health here.
Right. That's what we're all about.
Indeed.
Do you have
another story?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Nice.
Okay. In Australia, where people like saying good day and whatnot.
Good on ya.
The land down under?
The land down under, oh, yes. Right. Well, they were running into some interesting problems because they have nuclear power plants down there. Mm. And they apparently ran into some of the problems that a lot of plants run into, that you need to inspect areas that aren't necessarily the best places for humans to be. And true. So a lot of these things, you'd have to put people in a big heavy-duty suit, mm-hmm. and then even then you'd have to give them, like, long tube cameras to feed into areas mm-hmm. and whatnot. So, solution? Robot snake.
Oh.
Yeah.
Robot snake! Snake!
It's 37 inches long. It's modular. Made of 16 modules with two half joints each. It gives it a complete and total 16 degrees of freedom, which is quite nice. And it basically allows it to crawl wherever you can imagine. And it's perfect for power plants because you have tons of tight places and tons of things for it to be able to crawl up, like piping and whatnot.
Okay.
So it's perfect for it to snake its way into all of these confined areas. So it basically, it doesn't have the longest range that you can imagine right now, but it's still much better than actually having to plug somebody into an already dangerous environment and have them deal with it mm-hmm. much closer.
Cool. Okay, well, my story could be sort of like, it's sort of in the shape of a snake, I guess.
Okay. Okay.
You know, straight life for the snakes and straight.
For it. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, this story from IGN, huge shock. The Hyperloop revealed, LA to San Francisco in 30 minutes.
I heard about this.
This is totally awesome.
Is this his name, Elon Musk?
Elon Musk, yeah.
Elon Musk, okay. Says the system could cost $6 billion. Tesla Motors chief executive Elon Musk has finally revealed details on his Hyperloop transportation system in an interview with Bloomberg. An alternative to California's $70 billion plan to connect major cities with the rail system, the Hyperloop is an elevated transit system capable of reaching San Francisco from Los Angeles in only 30 minutes. That's awesome.
Yeah.
The Hyperloop pushes aluminum pods with passengers or vehicles through steel tubes at 800 miles per hour. According to Musk, a passenger-only system should cost around $6 billion, while a setup capable of ferrying vehicles would come in at around $10 billion. Moreover, the Hyperloop would be four times faster than California's high-speed rail, which Musk claims will actually cost the state closer to $100 billion-plus to construct. Musk says the Hyperloop is intended to connect cities about 1,000 miles apart and would prove more effective than airplanes thanks to reduced times in takeoff and landing. Quote, the safe distance between the pods would be about 5 miles, so you could have about 70 pods between Los Angeles and San Francisco that will leave every 30 seconds.
Impressive.
It's like getting a ride on Space Mountain at Disneyland, said Musk. Unlike an airplane, it is not subject to turbulence, so there are no sudden movements. It would feel super smooth. According to Musk, some naysayers of Hyperloop have focused too much on the disadvantages of a high-pressure tube system. Instead, the Hyperloop would use air pushed through little holes in the ski-like rails under the pod, causing it to float. An electromagnetic pulse would cause initial thrust, similar to a roller coaster. But as cool as the Hyperloop sounds, Musk isn't currently planning to take the project beyond concept. As you might have guessed, the chief executive already has his plate full with the other two companies he's running, and the announcement is really a call for feedback. Quote, I wish I had not mentioned it, said Musk. I still have to run SpaceX and Tesla, and it's naughty word hard.
Mm. those are two pretty, like, brain-intensive, like, administration-intensive projects to be running already.
Yeah.
To be adding that would be pretty, it'd be impressive.
But man, that's like, dude, want to go to Disneyland? Let's go to Disneyland.
Bam.
Half an hour.
We'll be there for lunch.
Yeah.
Let's take a long lunch and we can hang out, catch a ride, and then be back in time for whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of something that's awesome, before we get to our next story, the San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
Yes. So, from high-tech transit to high-tech theft.
Hey now.
A local nonprofit in the Southern California was LA area. Shoot, where was it? Anyway, the...
But Caleb, you already stole my heart. Analogly.
The nonprofit that specializes in domestic abuse and abuse and stuff like that, physical abuse, was broken into and had some of their computers stolen, and the next day,
not cool,
no, right. Not cool. But the what makes it kind of interesting is the next day the thieves broke back in, put everything back the way it was, and left a note saying, "We had no idea what we were taking. Here is your stuff back. Hope that you guys can continue to make a difference in people's lives. God bless."
That's a way cooler thief than normal, I think.
Yeah, the police were like, "Yeah, never heard of this happening before."
Now, was their stuff pretty good stuff?
They didn't specify. They said some PCs and a laptop. So
okay,
they were probably relatively new enough that they would have been useful to someone.
They probably cracked open the laptop and like, "Let's check it out, see what we got," and then saw like all the letterhead and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't feel so good anymore.
We're not going to a happy place after death if we keep these.
Yeah.
Either that or we're being shipped to Denmark.
I agree.
Yeah. Does anyone else have another story? I have one.
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
Yeah.
How about you?
I got something, but if you want to go again, go for it.
I was just going to round out with
a happy lion.
My last segment here with a story about coming from National Geographic. They recently embarked.
Nat Geo. For all of those people who like shortening things. Yeah, that too.
So anyway, they were embarked on a project to try and get the best natural footage and photographs of lions, like, and they've been doing this for a long time. You know, they go out in safari vehicles, and you know they dress up
like lions.
You know, they've done all they could to be responsible with human lives and very dangerous large animals. So they thought, well, why don't we separate further the human life from the dangerous animal? And so they started.
That would make some sense. I'd probably be all for that.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna use that snake camera.
They're using a cousin of this idea.
Oh, okay.
They mounted cameras on robots, and disguised them to look like part of the brush or whatever, and they would run them into the area and get. They have gotten some really beautiful photographs of lions and some really
nice
and footage that they've only like captured from a distance and really grainy and like hard to focus on from in the past, like, is now like very clear up close, and they can actually see like in detail what's going on.
Cool.
And the lions just kind of ignored the robots. Like, what is it? Like, at best they'll like kind of like bat it, like, "Stop it, you're moving, what are you doing?"
That's adorable. Do that some more.
Yeah, I don't want to eat that, forget it.
Yeah, it's like, "You're not food, but you're moving. That's weird. It's weird because they're still cats."
Yeah,
that's one of the funny things about cats.
And then they crawled into a box.
Let's go back to that yawn, Reginald.
So anyway, yeah, there's a about to put up a link to that, and it's
nice.
Just really cool, like the idea that we're starting to really employ, like, since now we've, you know, we've been using radio controlled robots for a while now. It's like, well, now it's, you know, we have a good range, we have good stability, we can build
robots
solid...
aren't just for death and taking over enslaving the human race.
What?
You know,
they aren't all Skynet.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
That doesn't sound like a good way to use robots.
Which one? I mean, Skynet or the...
No, I mean, in safer ways.
Okay.
I mean, you got to think big if you're going to use robots.
Mm.
True. Very true. Well, I think that'll wrap up our news portion
Sounds
of the show.
Good.
I mean, it made me yawn. So
All righty, then. Let's get to some music, then.
Yeah, let's get to some music. I'm just, you know, like, oh, mimicking
hopefully some
the audience
upbeat,
out
exciting
there.
Music.
I don't know. We'll see. It's a local band. Like
oh, no.
Jeez. Wow.
I'm sorry.
The band is called Rogue Wave. The track is Siren Song from the album Nightingale Floors.
Okay.
You are listening to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. After the music, we will come back with game discussion, and we'll hit you up with some of the games we've been playing and some announcements of events coming up. So stick around for that. We'll be back with more Robots Attack after the music.
Dun, dun, dun.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me, of course, is...
Caleb.
And...
Jason.
And we are now in the game discussion portion of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Caleb's going to start us off by mentioning a little game called Crackdown.
Yes.
That he played.
Yes, I've been playing... The Games with Gold has been a fascinating trip through sort of like good games that I never got around to purchasing because they were kind of early in the 360 lifespan.
Okay.
And Crackdown was one of them. Like,
tell us more.
Crackdown's part of the... if you look at their covers, they say platinum hit, so that means it was over a million sold, if memory serves correctly.
Is that what platinum is?
I believe so.
Okay.
When we get the platinum hit, that means it's a million sold plus.
Okay.
I think that's correct. If someone can correct me later on the internet because I'm probably wrong. But the game is actually a fair amount of fun. It's like a weird mix of Grand Theft Auto and Fable 2, in my mind.
Okay.
And Fable 2, like the as you go around the world doing encountering enemies and taking them on and stuff like that, like the when the enemies they drop experience points and you can draw into yourself and improve your character. This game has a similar mechanic where when you use a certain type of technique to take certain type of thing to take out one of the enemies, it will either up your strength, your shooting, or driving. And there's a few other like skills that are kind of involved with where your character can evolve. There's also agility, which is the Superman jump abilities.
Oh, okay.
Which actually those are astonishingly fun because like when you start out like you're better than average, but you're not like totally 100% like outside the realm of possibility.
You're not Superboy.
Yeah, but it's still interesting because you realize just how you have to plan your jump different. When you can jump higher and farther than a normal human can.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, okay. Like you're running up to I see that ledge. I want to jump up to it. And then, like, normally you would run up underneath the ledge, jump up, grab the edge or whatever, and pull yourself up. But with the characters in this game,
it becomes a math problem.
You have to play a little bit of Angry Birds with your with your character to get them up onto the next thing. And, you know,
I'm so awesome. I play Angry Birds with myself.
the trajectory stuff also works. Like when you jump down from something, like you can get obviously more distance because parabolas and physics work.
Because of math.
Because of math. And but yeah, the game is relatively straightforward and simple, which makes it real easy to pick up and play.
And just for, you know, for people to know out there, the game came out in 2007.
Yes. Okay. So this is not a new game, but it's new to me because I was able to pick it up for free with gold.
Well, not just that, but just also in like thinking about game design and just, you know, it's very early on in it's early on in the 360s
lifespan.
You know, lifespan. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, like its weakness is the aim assist.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like it does a good job of locking onto things and like holding you there, but it's not very intelligent about what it locks onto.
Why do you suppose that's a major problem in that sort of genre? Like, what causes that? Anybody know? Or
I suspect it's it was sensitivity to
light
to the shape. in the game, your primary enemies are gangs, and so when the gang members drives up. And they jump out. If you just pull the trigger for target, it targets the car.
Oh, okay.
It makes sense.
Which makes a degree of sense because it's the biggest thing to see. So, like, if you untarget, strafe around and then kind of put the reticle on
top. It knows the classic Warhammer rules. You have to target the largest thing first.
Mm.
It's an imminent threat rule.
Nerd.
Anyways, so you can move around the vehicle, and then if you put the reticle directly on the person, it will obviously target. But if you kind of just put it somewhere near, it will tend to pull towards the vehicle instead of the person.
Okay.
Even if it's no longer a threat, like it's stopped, you've moved around this next to it. There's nothing there to hurt you, but it will pull.
What if you're just really afraid of cars?
That's a different issue. Okay. So that's like its primary weakness as far as I'm concerned in terms of like the gunplay aspect. But other than like it's a relatively minor gripe, and it's most of the guns are not so accurate that you're gonna need to worry about that kind of shooting.
There's a lot of garden hosing and praying.
There's a certain amount of that. Once you upgrade your ability, the shooting ability, when you do lock on, the ability to take out targets with a more precise shot is actually a lot easier.
So just water hosing, no praying.
So, when you pull the trigger and you locked onto a person, you can use the right stick to select which part of the body you want to target, like legs drop them down to the ground so you can run up to them throw a grenade or something out there, or arms for shooting guns out of their hands. Or classic headshot and chest shot if you just want to like do the more of a I just need
more
to
more conventional take your enemy out of the picture.
I want to just move through the scene, get out of the way and like just not worry about how I'm shooting this guy. Like it always targets the chest.
Can you play it completely stealth style? Because that's
no.
Okay.
No. if you try to play this game stealth style,
you're doing it wrong.
You're kind of. Okay. not completely, because like it's a different way of playing, but that's not the way this game was designed. Right. It's designed to be sort of over the top, above
average.
Above average. Your character is essentially a superhero. You're a genetically enhanced clone, effectively.
Oh, okay.
So
what was it used? Did you mention like what is it that kind of makes it Fable 2?
Fable 2, in terms of like the way that you accumulate. You level the way your character levels.
Oh, okay.
You know,
gathering
it's like
experience.
When you gather experience, like it's by doing different types of activity. Like if you want to increase your strength, you either like knock the gang members out with your fists or your feet, or you grab something that you can lift and then target them and throw it at them. And when you do that, it improves your strength
points.
That
sounds like fun.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually.
So whatever you're using, that's what kind of builds up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And like say you it's a tougher character, and you are moving towards them and shooting, and then you finish it off with a physical attack, you get shooting points and physical points. Yeah, so it kind of mites it out as depending on how much of each one you do.
Okay.
And I'm still pretty early in the game, but it's its simplicity is rather enjoyable because it's like the plot's not overcomplicated. The characterization's not something you're really worried about.
Okay.
You just it's an open city world, and you just kind of move around, and with the high mobility of your character, it's relatively easy to get around places. So it's just kind of fun just moving around the city and taking out gang members.
Did it let you do much customization? I can't remember if it...
No, there's not much in the way of customization in terms of like skins or looks. I think at one point it looks like you can unlock an alternate skin for whatever one you've picked.
Okay.
But
right out of the box.
Right out of the box, it's just select a bunch of stock characters. They give you several characters to pick from, but they're all like these are the characters you have.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it's just a lot of fun. It's very kind of, it's not quite mindless, but it's very much kick back and enjoy and just play the game. You don't have to like lean forward and engage deeply, like, you know, Dead Space. You kind of have to like lean forward a bit to like kind of like avoid death. Yeah.
Just kind of avoid death.
Yeah. Whereas this one, you can lean back and still avoid death and dish out a fair amount of it as well. So you can get kind of creative with how you do it. Like, you know, as you increase your abilities, like you can like jump up, toss down a grenade, grab a heavy thing, jump in the air, and then drop it down on a group of people instead of, you know. And the AI is actually relatively smart. Like, if you toss a grenade and it's not an enclosed space, they'll run away from it. So you won't be able to get as many of them. Or if you do it, you have to like plan it. So like, all right, they're going to run towards the barrels. It's going to hit the barrels, hits them, and then... Okay. So.
How's the city itself, like, with the people and stuff? I mean, does it seem pretty lively, or is it kind of like, sparse?
No, it's
like,
pretty lively. Okay. Yeah.
Can you get people to riot?
No, you cannot get people to riot, but that's because you're on the side of the law, technically. So...
Well, I am
the law. Law. No, not like that.
Law. Law. Law.
We'll stop.
Yeah. Well, for a free game, it sounds pretty solid. So.
Yeah, and if you're on gold, like, you really should be picking up these games. Like, yes, they're not the newest, but they've all done pretty well for themselves. Like, Crackdown got a sequel, and it did pretty well for itself. Yeah. And they're all solid games. I mean, it'd be the freshest, but they're all solid, fun experiences.
Yeah. And a tip, if you say you don't have room for, you know, the game right away, since they are kind of on a time limit, you know, you only get X amount of time before you can't get access to them again, initiate the download, cancel the download. It's going to be record that you started it, so you can always go back. I mean...
Exactly. And
that's
also...
pretty tricky.
Always worth it. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I can't take too credit much for that. One of the guys from IGN... podcast recommended that, so but
go ahead,
sense.
Just take credit for it.
No.
And also, like, if once you
I'll take credit.
There you go. That was straight from Jason.
If you've already finished one, you can always remove it and it'll let you download it again once you have it's tied to your account that you have it. So
yeah, cool. All right. Definitely. Well, I did mention that there are a couple game events happening this week. The first one happening this Wednesday, for this little series called Call of Duty. I think you might have heard of it.
Yeah.
Call of Duty Ghosts is going to be revealing multiplayer this Wednesday. So if you're interested at all in COD, which I think most of us here are.
It's a tasty fish.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is. You know, most people are more interested in the multiplayer. They usually talk about the single player first.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're finally going to bring out the multiplayer, and we'll see.
Right, they give you your vegetables first, and then then bring the meat.
so we'll get to find out how all that works, how much they're going to show, what all do you think they'll present? Do you think it's just going to be like a tiny little taste? Are they going to go through like a level like they did with the single player, or?
I think every perk now is going to be a different type of dog. It's going to be chihuahuas.
So moving on seriously, Caleb, what do you think?
I think they would do something with the weapon customizations like they were doing in Black Ops 2, it seems like.
So you think they're going to show? I mean, what do you think they're going to reveal?
Reveal, yeah, sorry.
That's... That's what's happening this
week.
They're
going to show the weapon customization.
New maps.
And they might. They did mention that there's more customization in this one, like to your character. So that could be something that they'll show off.
Yeah. So. I think the one thing they'll might show off is like using the environment more as part of the because like since they made a big deal about how much more rich the environment is going to be, I wonder if they'll start trying to like you know push like the ghillie suit actually will make you disappear into the greenery or much better disappear into the greenery for the sniper kits and stuff like that. So,
Which honestly has been a huge problem ever since. Like the first one, they did that so well. And I think they've had a huge problem with ghillie suits functioning as well ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
I suspect it'll be like gameplay things like that, possibly like how points are mited out for rewards and stuff, maybe.
Do you think they'll go through like actually show off little bits of maps here and there and like people playing? Or because usually like if you go back when they do the single player, they'll have, you know, they'll show somebody going through part of the level, and obviously multiplayer is a little different than that. It's not, you know, you're not just following one person. It's usually jump from another or something. I mean, you could, but it's since there's no story thing,
no need to follow one person. I suspect that it will be something kind of like the reveal trailer for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, where it was like they kind of like showed different types of modes being played, and that's what I would suspect, because I think it seems to me that however you feel about that game as a part of the series, like the I felt like the trailer did a pretty good job of like showing kind of where they were going with their ideas about how they wanted the game to operate and players to interact with it.
There was a rumor of some new mode possibly called like squads or something, but so
that could be kind of cool.
Maybe they'll address that yet, or if they're just going to be kind of a sample platter of things and then later on, because it's scheduled to come out in November, so there's still a few months left, but
yeah, they might push that off a few to like closer to the holiday season. Like, yeah, when you have your system, like check out this cool feature that we've added to the game, kind of thing, and
catch a little bit
of buzz.
Me personally, I think they're gonna stick with just weapons and streaks for the first little bit, because it's really big bang easy stuff to show off, and then maybe they'll start getting into more of the plan before you game type of skills and stuff like that. They'll probably present those later, because that's the people that actually want to wrap their head around how they're going to tweak things instead of just like, oh, here's the biggest explosion I can make.
Yeah.
So
a little more finessing on the gameplay.
Right. I think I'm almost willing to bet they're going to show off some sort of new type of melee / ranged weapon. Okay. I mean, they've kind of done it in each one, and they've kind of played their own little tweaks on it, and I think they're not going to be happy just recycling the same projectile knives or whatnot. I think they're going to try and do something different there. But yeah, it's probably going to be showing off the guns and maybe some of the attachments for the guns that you wouldn't have thought before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's be interesting, because it's sort of like, not that Ghost isn't going to sell well, but it seems like there's a lot of kind of buzz in the community of it needs to kind of step up and break away, like show like, is this different than the others, you know, especially with with like Battlefield 4.
Yeah, which looks really sweet.
I may be completely off on this because this is all pure speculation, but I think they might be angling for that already, just because they're trying to set up this game as, okay, we're not the superpower that we used to be, but it sort of forced us into, ironically enough, the one-man army sort of role.
Yeah.
And which we tried desperately to get away from for a long time, because teamwork is good and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they're going to probably push it a little bit more towards a Rainbow Six experience, as weird as that might sound.
Mm.
That's why I think they're the buzz came out about the squads mode and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to definitely have all of the classic, like, team deathmatch and whatnot. But
yeah.
I think they're going to try and really work towards having a more intimate experience where you don't feel like you're an entire military versus another military. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, that's already... In my view, they can't compete with Battlefield in that realm. Because, I mean, they've already said in Battlefield 64-player servers on...
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like it's going to be really difficult for them to...
Yeah. And I don't want them to make exact...
Battlefield.
Yeah. That's,
exactly.
I like the difference between the two. And, I'm going to get Ghosts pretty much no matter what, but...
And you kind of think about it, this game series is always kind of angled more towards that because they've always shied away from vehicles and stuff like that. They've had more intimate maps for the most part.
Yeah.
So it being an experience that's meant more for you getting to know your fellow players, I think that's what they're probably going to gun for.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope they show something. If they don't do it at this one, at another reveal of just like, something that kind of gets that excitement again, mm-hmm. like to play, like, mm-hmm. oh, man, I can't wait to try that out. Like, because, you know, now it's like you see, new maps, you see other things, like, okay, I know the fun is there, but I want, like, I hope they've got something that's just like, whoa, like, you didn't really expect, or, like, I want to try that out, when I get my hands on it, you know?
I was joking about it, of course, and I know it's probably going to be a much bigger thing in the single player, but I think dogs are going to be this game's answer to robots in the previous game, since everything was robots in the previous one.
Yeah.
And you can do a lot of interesting things with robots, but they don't really have their own brain. They can't figure things out and so on. So having a dog that's actually trained to do different stuff, I think, could make some really interesting gameplay in a multiplayer setting.
Mm.
But I've sort of wished that they'd do that for how many generations of this game now, so I don't know.
Yeah. With the one, at least, it seems like that they should be able to tap into that pretty well because
they should be able to make a smart dog.
they have the whole like Azure system to support whatever simulations they'll be running for the logic of the animal. So
right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah, we'll interesting to see what they do.
We'll find out on Wednesday. So.
Oh, and something came out that I thought was interesting, that it's particularly interesting for this game because it's going to have two different versions, one for the 360 and one for the Xbox One, of course. And I assume it's going to be a kind of a similar thing for PlayStation 3 versus 4 and whatnot.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so two different games. GameStop came out with a deal that you can pre-order the game on the last generation system and upgrade it later for like $10.
Heard about that, yeah.
And so, especially for this game, that seems like a kind of cool thing because they are going to be different games and slightly different experiences. So, yeah. I'd be really tempted to try and do that.
Yeah, because they haven't announced yet when the new systems are going to drop.
Mm-hmm.
Assume it games. Com, they will make the announcements, but yeah,
it's open,
so we'll see. I wonder how long, the 360 version looks like it's dropping on the 5th, and then we'll see where it's going to drop on the others. But
mm-hmm.
I think on Amazon they're saying the pre-orders for the one are set for December. It's like, really?
Yeah. They put the placeholder date, so
doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah. But yeah, so if you're interested, check out on Wednesday on the internet. You'll see where you go.
It'll probably be out there.
The
kind of a big deal.
Before I get to the next game event that pops out, Jason has our PSA.
Okay, prepare yourselves. Celebrate the Great Gourd at the world-famous Half Moon Bay Art and Pumpkin Festival, October 13th, 14th. From 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on historic Main Street. For more information, call 650-726-9652. Call early and call often.
I know it sounds like that's a ways away, but people, that's going to come way faster than you think.
Yep, they'll sneak up real quick.
I mean...
Never underestimate a pumpkin.
It's true. They are pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. All right, so the last video game news event for the game discussion is not to, you know, pull any punches or anything. The GTA 5 is going to reveal multiplayer info and footage and everything on Thursday. So, hey, you know, if you're not interested in Call of Duty,
you're not going to have to wait long.
Yeah, to probably be in, you're probably interested in GTA 5, mm-hmm. Especially since they haven't, they've sort of teased in the last trailer, like the online, like at the very end, they sort of teased it. So it'll be curious to see.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
Yeah, how they pull this off, because this one looks pretty incredible. Like just the game, what they're
going
for.
They have a lot
for.
Of cool ideas going on, I think.
So we'll see how those all play out. But
how they hashtag out.
Yeah. What they're going to use. It's just, it's crazy to think, though, like it's, the game is dropping on, you know, this current generations of systems and stuff. Like there's still a handful of games that are pretty solid for this generation. It's nice that they're not completely just giving up on it.
Yeah, I remember, like, the Vagrant Story game was kind of that for me, way back, bridging from PlayStation 1 to 2. It was it was one of those games that I wanted to play more of, but it's like, oh, I have this bright, shiny new system. So I've always regretted not playing more of that, not finishing that one up.
But yeah, I played a little bit of, like, GTA 4 online, and it's a lot of fun. So with this, like, even bigger setting, I'll be curious to see if they're able to pull it all off and and the Constitution. The pocket Constitution makes its appearance for the first time on the show. Yay. How you doing, Constitution?
Everybody, round of applause. Hey. Pocket Constitution.
I'm just a bill.
Sorry.
And on that singing note, we'll wrap up our game discussion and move on to some music break before we hit the core.
I thought it was going to be a sing-off or something like that.
No. Maybe for next time or down the road.
Okay.
We'll think about it.
I'm expecting that.
We'll have the audience pick stuff, and so Caleb can tell them how they can do all that. Preview what the core is going to be after the music break.
I smell a new reality show.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
you, sir, are a genius. We're going to make the money.
Mm. Our core topic today is going to be adaptations for the ones that we like, and mostly going to be book to film, but there's a lot of other adaptations that are out there. We'll try and think of good ones.
Okay.
Then, if you wish to throw in your own two cents on the on an adaptation that you are,
or heck, even three
or more, whichever,
or anything we've talked about so far,
right?
Yes, if you was to just,
that,
like,
would be the third cent.
Throw in your knowledge. You can find us on Robots on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words, and you can find us on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me. And finally, robotsattackshow@gmail.com is old email. And if you want to, just one site for all of it, robotsattack.me. It has links under the interact button to the things I mentioned before and archive episodes of all of our shows.
Right.
So enjoy even more of our witty banter.
Yes. Well, semi-witty banter.
It depends.
Oh, maybe you.
Especially me.
All righty. Before we get to the track called Shark Attack from the artist Trainwreck Writers.
I like the rhyme there.
From, cool. From the album title Ghost Yards, I'm going to tell you about the radio stream. If you want to listen to KSU even when you are not near a radio, stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. Here's some sound here on Robots Attack on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
You are now entering the core. And
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Sector talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are in the core. Caleb has provided our topic for this week, so I'm going to turn it over to him now.
That's right. So we're talking about adaptations. Typically, these are film adaptations, but there's a...
not the movie adaptation.
Not the film adaptation with Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage.
Which is, from what I hear, which is actually a rather interesting postmodern story, but, well, that's a different issue entirely. But, like, the classic adaptation is usually novel to film. One of my favorite examples is The Neverending Story. Movie I watched a lot as a kid.
Okay.
I watched it.
It
like,
doesn't show.
It was one of those movies like a day at in the summer camp, like daycare. They had, they knew that was a safe movie they could put on, and so it was on a lot. And I sat there enthralled every single time it was on.
You're lucky. Mine was Annie.
I'm sorry.
So, that's probably why I hate musicals.
It probably does not help your love of musicals. No. But yeah, like I thought. When I finally got around to reading the Neverending Story book, it is, one, fantastic, not to be a pun on the name of the place and the book, which was Fantastica, but the book is actually, the book is really well put together.
Is it very different from the movie?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
I mean, whenever you adapt a novel into a film, things get lost.
Yeah.
It happens. Purists just... take that, yeah. Take that pail and put it in the corner.
It's gonna happen.
I understand. It's the pilot thought you're one of your favorite parts, but you gotta make a movie. And this, it's a book is not a movie. But the film is an adaptation of the first half of the novel.
Okay.
And it does a really good version of the first half of the novel. And there's rumors of a. Reviving the series as a two-part film.
Okay.
I'm not sure when that's gonna happen. It's just rumors right now. But yeah, I thought that was one because, like, you know, it's not just we have characters in the movie named with the same names as the characters in the book. Because we've all seen that adaptation, and we're like, this movie has nothing to do with this book at all. So, certain imagery they adjusted because technology and budget just, you know, they couldn't go, like the Atreyu in the novels is green skinned.
Oh, okay.
Huh. And that would be relatively not impossible, but it'd be kind of expensive for,
man, I want to see a little Hulk Atreyu.
that era of filmmaking and for the budget that movie had, what they were trying to accomplish within that film. Cause they caught like a really good sampling of the scope of what that movie was about. It's like the breadth of imagination, the expansiveness that the mind can create, and I thought that's kind of what I'm kicking off with, is one of the really good adaptations of a novel to a film.
So would you hope that they did another?
I would
take on it, or
I would like to see another version of the film. That is the whole novel. That will be challenging because the last part of the second half of the novel is very introspective. But I think it could be done. I just would be really interesting to see like the complete story like actually laid out in a visual form, and like with the technology that we have nowadays to create effects that are beyond what a humble green screen set provides.
Yeah.
Or even like a well designed physical set with green screen extensions.
I'm just imagining a person with like green hair now.
You're gonna ask
who would you want like to direct it or produce it, be involved in it heavily?
If I could choose a director, I would like to see Guillermo del Toro take a shot at it.
Saw that coming from a mile away.
Yeah. If you know my taste in film at all, he would be I think a good choice.
If you and
over Peter Jackson,
I don't know about over, but I would take Guillermo over Peter Jackson for this particular film.
Yeah, your art geek cred is now fully intact.
Yeah, because like Guillermo really gets like that textual feel of what an image can have in a movie. Like he gets that really well, and I think that would really enhance the look of a never ending story film pair. I think that'd be cool. Like do the whole story to them. So
yeah.
Plus he can direct kids really well, and most of the characters in the story are young. So I think he could do really well with that. So
were they for the movie and the book? Did they have them around the same age, or were they
around the same age? The Atreyu is a little bit older than he was described in the book.
Oh, okay.
But when they made a second film, they had an actor that was more like the age that he was sort of described in the novel, and it was horrible.
Okay.
The second film needs to be barred from existence.
Did the second one, did it have any connection with the book? Like, was it?
It had elements of the second half of the book.
Oh, okay.
But it was a vicious mishmash. Like, it's someone Frankensteined the second half of the book together.
Oh, okay.
And it is painful when you it's painful to watch when you don't know what's going on. It's even worse when you do know what it could have been. You're just kind of like, ow, stabbed in the heart. Okay, this is horrible. Just make it stop. Make the hurting stop.
But it doesn't stop.
Not for like an hour and a half. You're just like, make it stop. So, yeah.
They only did two, right?
No. There's
they did another?
Five.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's like two more.
I take
more.
It these are like direct-to-video.
Yeah, direct-to-video. Like there's two more in live action and then there's an animated
did
one.
Did they do
there.
Like Jurassic Park and kind of do some of the original stuff with later ones? Or
After being burned so viciously on the second one, I never went anywhere near those others. I'm like, I'll just watch the first one over and over and over again some more. Thank you very much.
Nice. So Hellboy 2's Guillermo del Toro. That's what you want. All right. actually, I should say Blade 2's Guillermo del Toro.
Oh.
That's what you want.
Man, you know how to hurt.
Well, speaking of things that don't hurt, super easy to do. San Jose Animal Advocates. You're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but have limited time to volunteer. Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook. All right, so we've had the never-ending story suggested.
Mm-hmm.
Jason?
I have a really hard time with this one. I'd almost have to go to comics, but I've not been like the biggest comic fan in the world compared to a lot of other people that I know. So I'm going to go with the super easy one in my view, but kind of a no-brainer.
Well, what about Crichton? You mentioned that earlier. Crichton books have been made into movies. I mean,
I was going directly for that, actually. Oh, okay. In Jurassic Park, I think they did a really good job of departing from the original story in appropriate places to make it into a really good movie. I still kind of wish that they would have a completely loyal to the book version of Jurassic Park eventually. I know it's probably not going to happen because... I mean, once you've had Spielberg do it, I don't know who's going to follow it after that. That's some big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird with that series because, of course, it had the stumbling with the second movie where they tried to do little tidbits of the second book. And I'm so glad that the third movie came out, not Hamlet in any sort of way.
Yeah,
but still, like, they tried to get the stuff in there that was good from the second book, so I really respect that they did that, and some of the stuff that they were missing from the first book too.
Mm-hmm.
So
like gymnastic fighting
raptors?
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
because that was like my favorite part in Lost World.
I can completely understand that.
So awesome. It's like, man, the raptors didn't see that coming.
Not from a mile away.
Yeah. Yeah, not clever girl.
Those were not clever raptors.
Yeah. Well, it was a clever girl, but...
Right, yes.
Human
but not
girl.
In... Yeah, not...
Parentheses, human.
Not scaly girl.
Yeah.
Right.
So, they should have... they need to, like, splice in that guy just... When she does the twirl and knocks the raptor off, like, cut. That guy.
Yeah. Clever girl. No.
That'd be pretty good.
I smell a hashed together music video coming.
Mm-hmm. Clever girl, the music video.
Right.
Clever girl. And then just have all these different situations of girls and, like, the Hunger Games and Harry Potter. Just all these different girl
there you go.
Stuff.
All the smart
and
jokes.
That guy just, clever girl. Clever girl.
The funny thing is that actually kind of works.
I want to see that. Okay. We have a project to work on. Because, yeah, some of the clevers could be ironic. Like, very, very ironic, too.
Mm. Oh, really? Do you have an example? Or
no.
Because I don't. Nothing's popping in my head. Let's see. So I guess.
Screenshot of the Kardashians. Clever girl. Princess, not really. Nah, I don't know. I don't know him that well. I can't say.
No, go feel free. Yeah.
How about JoJo? Was there an adaptation that you thought was apt?
Well, we'll go sort of on the lines of changing things, but to make it, I think, work as this is a television series. I would say Game of Thrones.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it follows the series pretty faithfully, but it does have to change things here and there. It does, like, combine some characters or omit ones and throws ones
in. It messes with timing a fair amount also, doesn't it? Or... Okay.
Here and there, it's pretty good. They've taken some things that, like, it's like... If you sort of follow the series, like, okay, this season is, like, this half of this book or this or that. Well, they'll add some things that maybe, like, happened in another book, but, like, happens
at the same
sort of during that time.
The chronology is correct.
They kind of do things here and there, and they do stuff that, like, it makes sense for a TV series.
I mean,
that you would kind of have to do. I mean, it's just the books are so... massive, like, there's just so many characters, there's just so much stuff in it. It's like,
they did
it's amazing
really
they could do what they do.
They did a really good job sort of distilling it into the finest form of itself, it seems like.
Yeah, because it could have been like a complete disaster. I mean,
oh yeah, I was actually sort of expecting it to be a complete disaster, to be honest. I'm glad I found out otherwise.
Yeah, but... when I saw some kind of first images and stuff when it was, like, really early on pre-production, I was like, I don't know about this. Like, but yeah, they
well, and a lot of the casting too, like, I didn't expect a lot of the people to live up to the roles that they were cast in.
It's that sort of a hard thing too. It's like the characters in the books, a lot of them are younger, but they can't really have, like, actors that age, or, you know, have them be that, and the situations that happen, it's like, whoa, for TV, even HBO, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a line.
Works in a book, but yeah, so, but yeah, it's good that they've shied away from getting, like, super well-known actors to play the parts, so you're not just like, that's Tom Cruise playing this, or, you know.
Right.
You know, it's like, you
still respectable actors, but yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's not like Robert Redford as Superman. Oh, look, it's Robert Redford as Superman.
Yeah. So.
Wait, is that happening? Or?
No, that almost happened, and then it was Chris Reeve. Come on now. You were there for that episode.
And, of course, you know, Nick Cage was going to be a Superman.
At
some point, too, later on. And
I vaguely remember
I've seen,
that
like,
now.
They have, like, one still image of him, like, in the suit, and he's got this, like, long hair. It looks so bad, but...
I don't even want to think about that right now.
You literally just gave me a headache.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not to go off on a complete tangent, but since Superman was brought up, not by me, mind you, but since we did mention, and I'm sure people out there have heard, you know, the next Superman movie is going to have Batman in it as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they're trying to shoot for a more veteran, grizzled kind of Batman Mm-hmm. So it's not like the origin story they're trying to tell. Okay. It's like, this is his guy. Like, he's been doing this for a while. He's in his prime kind of thing. And so they're looking for actors that are more like in their 40s, that sort of thing.
Oh,
and
okay.
Youngers and stuff. So, you know, they've been throwing out actors here and there from like, well, it's weird. They sort of mention that and they're like, they throw out like Josh Brolin and then like Ryan Gosling that doesn't really
fit yeah,
that,
yeah, veteran,
but, you know, and
rough.
Then the actor, I forget the actor's name, but he played, I think the dwarf's name was Thorin, but like the king of the group in The Hobbit.
Oh,
like
okay.
The,
oh,
you know,
okay.
The son, yeah. The one, you know, who's leading
Thor,
the group.
Thor Oakenshield.
Yeah, yeah. So they threw him out and stuff. And one that I haven't heard much else from, but I am like totally down with, is Jim Caviezel.
Okay.
He's on the Person of Interest show now. He's like the bronze physical part of the show where the guy from Lost is like the brains and stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, he was also Jesus in Passion of the Christ, but he's in like tons of stuff.
Okay.
But like, if you see Person of Interest and you see him, I'm like, yeah, that dude can be Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
And he can be Batman. Like, bulk up a little bit, but I think it's like, I would pick him.
Okay.
Out of the choices.
Not being as familiar with him personally, I think Brolin could do a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Mm. That wouldn't be too bad either.
And just for a point of reference, the actor who plays Thorin is Richard Armitage.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, I know that was one throughout. But enough of that.
Mm.
You have another.
I do. Adaptation? I'm gonna pull up. It's actually kind of a classic in my mind, and that's The Princess Bride. Classic, not just because it's been like a fan favorite, but also because like the guy who wrote the novel also wrote the screenplay,
and he hated Fred Savage.
I don't know about that, but
I can identify with that. That's a punk kid right there.
What? There's nothing wrong with Fred
punk
Savage.
Kid.
He was good.
But then
Wonder Years.
That was
after they beat him enough, he was good.
Dang. I'm sorry, Fred Savage.
Thank you,
there.
Columbo, for volunteering for that.
Dang.
By the way.
Anyway, so the reason why I bring that one up particularly is because the writer of the whole thing, like after he did the film, he wrote a book on how to write screenplays, and it's been like largely held up as one of the greatest, but one of the like, if you want to write screenplays, this is a good place to start.
Okay,
I should read that.
Yeah, William Golding is. No, I'm sorry. No, William Golding is the writer, and yeah, I think I've read part of that book. It's actually really good. But yeah.
So what about the adaptation of that book? Was it pretty good? Or
it was really good because it's one of those where obviously like when you have both the same writer for both,
yeah.
Like it can either go really sideways or it can be really good and it went really well.
Right.
Like, He did what they did with where they distilled this book down to its core essence, which is characters and dialogue and adventure and like a fun, rollicking experience.
Okay.
And like the book has these elements in it, but it's like the movie just distilled them down to like very refined, excellent versions of all of it. And
okay.
And then also, he increased the thickness, the role that Buttercup plays. Like her as a character is actually better developed in the movie than in the novel.
Okay.
Not that the novel lacked, but she's a little more shades of Princess Peach, where she's a little bit ditzier in the book.
Okay.
Not unlikable, just ditzier.
Already hate the book.
Jeez.
Already.
This guy right here.
I can tell.
So yeah, that's not one that I thought.
That's no kind of woman right there.
I thought that
Princess Peach?
Right. That's a peach right there. That's not a princess. I'm sorry, go on.
You know, well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a tangent, but it fits. Because it's Princess Bride and Game of Thrones that I mentioned.
Uh-huh.
Someone took... Okay, I don't remember exactly the part in the Princess Bride movie, but like it's they're showing thing, and then like Fred Savage interrupts Columbo.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Whoa, whoa, Grandpa, you read that wrong. Go back, right?"
Uh-huh.
So they take those parts, and I'm not gonna spoil anything with Game of Thrones, but I'll just do the initials, RW.
Uh-huh.
Pretty big, crazy, dramatic situation that goes on. I'm pretty sure you know what
okay.
I'm talking
okay.
about.
Okay.
It's, you know, usually involved.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think,
the part
I think,
I'm talking about,
I think
about,
so,
right?
Right. Like, yes.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Okay, well...
There's a lot of trauma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They took, like, a bunch of that footage that happened in the show and cut it with that part. So, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. it's pretty good. It's worth
it.
I
have to go look at it.
I might
look
at Fred Savage
that's,
a little bit
that's
better.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
And then...
I can't.
Oh, man. That's good.
Yeah. But okay. So now, but okay. You said you've read most of the book?
I've read the whole novel.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
I only read part of the screenplay book.
Oh, okay. Okay. You read the whole Princess. Okay.
Mm-hmm, I read the whole novel. Yeah.
And like you said, it's pretty close to it. They just, you know, mm-hmm. made Buttercup a little stronger of a character.
A little stronger of a character. They, you know,
a little bit more gung-ho.
Yeah.
The character from G.I. Joe.
They just turned up the heat a little bit more and okay. brought it all down to
cool.
It's good stuff.
Jason.
I know I've mentioned this before, but
Mass Effect, take a shot.
I need to read some Mass Effect comics, but I was gonna say I'm gonna kind of wimp out because I haven't read as many novels except for Michael Crichton, like Joe mentioned, and unfortunately most of the movies that came out of his books.
Well, that is
not so great. And the ones that I really like, I haven't actually read the book of. Because they're supposed to be so much different, and so I always ended up...
Congo, an amazing film.
Yeah.
Yes, that's one way of putting it.
I'll just let that one be.
That's wise.
But I will say this, if you've watched the crummy movies like Congo and... and to a certain extent, Sphere, I thought it was better than it could have been, but still didn't
better
quite,
than Congo.
Yeah, yeah. It was much better than Congo, but still not what it should have been in my view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely give the books a try because they are so much better than
Sphere,
the movies.
Sphere especially was a very good book.
The
movie was solid, but like when I read the book, I'm like, wow, this is like seriously cool.
Yeah.
And Congo was a good book, and the movie was like, what is this?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I was so looking forward to the movie since it was kind of the follow-up of Jurassic Park in a way.
Yeah.
And so it was like, oh, they're going to do this right. I can't wait for this. No.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this has nothing to do with that.
So we mentioned some leading up to the one you're going to talk about for
anyway,
2 minutes.
So I know everybody who's heard the show before has heard me geek out about the Hellboy 1 and 2. I still don't view them as, like, hands down the best movies ever, but there's a lot of stuff that I enjoy so thoroughly that I'm going to keep watching that movie over and over again, although I'm probably going to fast-forward parts here and there. But yeah, it's always been really interesting to me as an adaptation. And I know a lot of it is because Mike Mignola, the original writer of the comic, was on board and was just having fun with Del Toro, talking about how interesting it could be changing the characters up and just casting a different person than normal to be Hellboy. And it completely changed the entire character and made it a really interesting take. I think it made a lot of really awkward scenes that I don't think they should have had at all, where they were trying to do romantic stuff when it's nowhere near like the sweet spot for Guillermo del Toro's abilities. But still, it ended up creating a lot of really fun stuff for me. So,
yeah, I'll second that. Second those. Those are good movies. I like them a lot anyways.
Yeah. And honestly, a lot of it is just the visual stuff too, which is interesting to me because Mignola's a really good artist and like making a really interesting visual statement, but it's not anywhere near as, I don't know, like fantastical. It's very dark. It's very simple. And yeah. it really works with the original Hellboy. But mm-hmm. when you add a layer of Del Toro, the two Guillermos, in my view, Guillermo Del Toro and Guillermo Navarro, his...
director
of photography. When you add them together, you end up getting really beautiful stuff, in my view.
So. Mm-hmm. Well, could you sort of quickly kind of mention, like, I mean, what were the difference between, like, Hellboy, the movie, versus, like... just thinking of the character.
Right. The original Hellboy was much more of, like, kind of a noir... like tough guy trying to get through all of the difficult situations, but not in like a brazen sort of way. Like, I don't know who to compare it to. I mean, you have to go back to really old movies that I actually didn't enjoy terribly much in order to compare the character directly.
So more on the lines of like Humphrey Bogart characters?
Exactly.
Or...
Okay. More along those lines, which ends up being really fun, like having... this big demon guy with, and the fun thing about it too is he actually has like the demon legs too, like the classic goat leg mm-hmm. for a demon thing. And having that character in a trench coat being like the brooding, like trying to get through a rainy day sort of thing. mm-hmm. It's such a contrast compared to this really brazen, really loudmouth type of character that they have in the Hellboy movies, and two completely different characters, but really fun from completely different perspectives.
Cool.
Definitely.
All right. Well, I think this has been a cool topic. Was there something else you wanted to add? All right.
No,
I know you want to do Maltese Falcon.
Well, maybe for another time, because we are out of time now. Yes. But we want to thank you for listening. And before we get out of here, Caleb's going to tell you one more time how you can be a part of Robots Attack.
That's right. If you've liked what you heard and want to say something about it, we would like to hear it. You can find us on Facebook. We are Robots Attack. It's two words separated in search. Or you can find us on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me. And finally, if email is more your speed, you can hit us at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, our website is robotsattack.me. Interact button has links to everything else I've described, and we have archive episodes of our show there as well.
That's right. And if you have an idea for a topic for us to discuss, feel free to... send us that.
Yes.
Are we as well?
We probably won't use it.
This guy right here.
What? I believe in honesty.
True. It is the best policy. All right. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next Monday from 6 to 8. Have a great week and weekend and just all around good times. Let us know what you think of the multiplayer, both for COD and...
Yeah,
GTA 5 this week on the various places that Caleb mentioned, because we want to hear from you, because we'll definitely be checking those out as well. All right, I'm out of here. I'm Joe, Caleb,
and Jason.
We're out of here. See you next time. Have a good one.
Take care.
Raccoon. Veronica. Misto.